early 70s and mid 70s. They do a sort of a reminiscent look back at the good old days.
Oh, of course, when we all get together, we sit around and we talk about what we used to do and all. Sure, we all miss it. We all miss it. I have this one friend, she's had a stroke since, you know. She was very active. And she says, do you remember, Marilyn, we used to drive all over the state. Nobody gave us mileage and nobody gave us per diem. And we went all over and we demonstrated and we went to meetings and we paid our own way. And I said, yeah. Now, she said, they won't do anything unless they get per diem and they get mileage. And
I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, outside of your TA money, you didn't have a paid position until...
72.
Right.
Yeah.
So you did activist work for almost 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Out of your pocket.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Totally out of your pocket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was normal.
Yeah. Oh, that was normal. Oh, yeah. Everybody was doing it. You know, we chip in and buy gas. And, oh, yeah. Oh, we were laughing one night. We went... There's nothing to leave work. And this was when I said, stay, teach, drive up to Morongo Reservation for a meeting, to plan a conference, drive home after that. I'd drop people off at different reservations along the way, or drive there and ride with somebody else and then have to drive home. We'd be in a restaurant at 1:30 in the morning drinking coffee and eating after the meeting. Yeah, those were the good old days. We had a good time.
Did your kids go with you on other excursions?
A lot of times they did. Yes, they did. Okay.
Would other people bring their...
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Them? Oh, yeah.
Were the husbands ever along?
Not too much. Not too much. Some of the women's husbands went. Some of them didn't. But it was pretty well. The women were pretty active. And
were the husbands active, but just in a different way? Or?
Some were. Some were not at all.
Your husband was active only personally to you.
To me, and he was very active in the anti-war movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he had his activism in the whole anti-war movement.
Did you align yourself with any of the other activist types of groups?
Yeah, I think many of us became very involved too in the anti-war movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing that very much like Martin Luther King had and Cesar Chavez had, that violence and oppression is violence and oppression, no matter which stuff.
Mm-hmm. Richard Oakes and AIM eventually, you know, did things like Wounded Knee and had all the things that are in North Dakota. So how involved were
we weren't terribly involved in that. Some of the people around here were very involved in AIM and that. And I can remember one time I was teaching a class at State and one of the young guys came in, posture me. AIM is back, and we need to come and talk to your class. And I think he was ready for a battle. I said, very good. You got the whole class that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Tell what's going on. So,
and that's how it ties in.
It did. I think he was ready for it. So, but, you know, we kept abreast of what was going on. But, you know, I think when Russell Means and Dennis Banks got very involved in all of that, that really was a whole different realm for us.
Geographically.
Geographically and just philosophically, I think, because we were not into violence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really very strong.
You were coming out of a totally different angle?
Yes, yeah. I would say we were, myself and most of the women I really dealt with, I would say we subscribe much more to the nonviolence kind of thing. You know, violence to me always begets violence, and I'm a nonviolent person, and I don't subscribe to violence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me. Now, I understand it's necessary in some instances, mm-hmm. but I don't. That's not my way.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever accused, or did you feel, or was it ever mentioned that you guys might be, because you were working so within the system, education, that you weren't really activists, or you weren't really Indians, or, I mean,
from the community? No, I don't, it was never questioned, that never ever came up.
Mm-hmm. People didn't feel like you were, I guess, for that selling out.
No, because I think, you know, in the Indian community, there's always been a push for education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's never been, historically, that's been. Because we strongly feel, I know a lot of other people feel, that you really can't beat the system unless you know what the system is. You never can beat it, I think, but now you're going to have to get around it. But you can't do that unless you know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, otherwise you're just fighting in the dark and you don't know what's
right.
going on. And I think that, and I think that's why we have so many Indian attorneys, Indian social workers, Indian teachers, because these are the things that impact our lives, daily lives of our people. And so, by that, you may be able to affect some small changes, whatever is going on.
We had talked about last time about when you go back to the reservation, you told that story about a gentleman who had said, are you still in school? And you said, yes. And he said, like, you should come back to the reservation with this big cap.
Big basket.
Big basket. That's
yeah.
Good. When you go home, do you ever feel like, I know you sort of answered it, but in all your activism, is there a different type of activism now on the reservation where you grew up?
Well, yeah. Because there, you know, they have their own school system, and they have, it's really a very self-contained community. They have all their own programs, and their activism is much more developed, I think, community developmental kind of stuff, you know. We've got a lot of people who are educated, who work on different programs on the ground. You know, we have our own senior, it's not a home, it's a convalescent hospital,
mm-hmm.
so that if they need care, they don't have to be in a hospital in town, they can be in the
family's close?
Yeah, family's close, and they can be in all the time.
Do you feel like you're constantly trying to recreate what you grew up with?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I definitely got from listening to the tape that your experience growing up on the reservation was one that provided you with a lot of security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say so, very definitely. It provided me with a lot of security and a lot of sense of
foundation.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I'd like to see other Indian people have. I think of how these generations change. A few years ago, I took my granddaughter up there. And she's about 14, I think, at the time. And my brother has a granddaughter the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all sitting around talking, and somebody said, well, where are the girls? And I said, well, I don't know, they went in the other room. So we go. I went in there, we weren't checking on them or anything. I just thought, well, you know, are they getting along? Because they're both very quiet. Friendly, but quiet. I went in there. My brother's granddaughter had her beadwork all out on the table. So my granddaughter was talking about, because my granddaughter does beadwork too. So they were talking about beadwork and beads, and I went back to my, I said to my brother, you will never guess. In our generation, we didn't do beadwork and sit around and talk about beading. I said, now the next coming generation, there they are, talking about styles and beads. And it just blew my mind.
That's great.
Oh, it is. It really is. And, you know, and my brother's granddaughter's going on to college, you know, and everything else. So they're combining the education with a lot of this stuff that they're doing. And it was really funny. I got a bit of a kick out of it. But, you know, I miss it. I miss it a great deal. And every time I go home, it's hard to come back. But I couldn't stand the climate of it. I just couldn't do it. It was both too cold in the winter and too hot. Miserable in the summer, and it's so hot and humid. And I was home a year ago. I lost my older sister a year ago. So we were home in April. Oh, my God, it was cold in the wind. And the snow was coming down. I dug on here, got snowed in April. And my brother was in Florida. So I said, how do we stand this? He said, well, we didn't know any better. Now we know better, so we can't take it anymore. And I think that's the sad thing is, you know, I miss it. I miss everybody. And a lot of my friends have gone back and retired back there now that I grew up with. But they never left the area.
They were always close. See, I was close. You know, like maybe they went to Buffalo or 40 or Detroit or someplace. But they were still always in that area. And so, you know, very few of us came this far away. And I think I would find the climate just bomb. And being so cold. I feel always like this. Yeah.
Too hot.
Too hot.
Oh, I love
Southern California.
Do you obviously your granddaughter's involved. We talked about her involvement in the Indian community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Berkeley. Did you pass your activism on to your kids, or is that something that they just sort of, you let them decide for themselves?
Oh, I let them decide for themselves, but I think that they always realize that you really can't live just for your own self, that there's always
community
that is there. My granddaughter tutors at an alternative school. She's an alternative school. And she was talking to me about some of the kids, some of the issues. The lack of reading and stuff. Jen is wants me to teach you. At the moment.
She'll be 3 more years to change that major.
Yeah. History major at the moment, so.
Wow.
Well, she's a nice young girl.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Oh, gosh, I don't think so. You know, I'm just thinking back about a lot of these things that went on and how it was so involved. You know, I still see a lot of the same people, the same Haiti. We've all gotten a lot older, and a lot of them are no longer with us anymore. Gone on, but I think that, you know, it's what I always try and tell young people. You know, we can't all keep on doing this. You've got to start doing it. You're there. You've got to start. There are battles to be fought, and you've got to do them.
And it sounds like you're doing a great job.
I'm trying to get them going here. So,
well, I want to thank you very much for not only your time, but sharing your story with me. I knew you'd have an interesting story to tell. So thank you very much.
Yeah.